Welcome to Healthy Mom, Healthy Baby Tennessee, a podcast brought to you by the Tennessee Initiative for Perinatal Quality Care. TIPQC exists to improve health outcomes for mothers and infants in Tennessee through our quality collaborative that will identify opportunities to optimize maternal and infant outcomes across our state and is funded under a grant contract with the state of Tennessee. The Healthy Mom, Healthy Baby Tennessee podcast is designed for medical professionals and for patients and families across the state. We will focus on all aspects of the perinatal period with special attention to reducing our maternal mortality rate. This podcast is brought to you through a cooperative agreement with the Alliance for Innovation on Maternal Health.
Welcome to the Healthy Mom, Healthy Baby Tennessee podcast, brought to you by the Tennessee Initiative for Perinatal Quality Care. I am Karen Scatzina, the TIPQC Infant Medical Director. Today, we have Heather Logan joining us. Heather is the Regional Program Manager of the Governor's Early Literacy Program, or GELF. Heather, welcome, and thank you so much for talking with me today.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited.
To start out, could you tell us more about you and your career journey?
Yes. I grew up with two parents who were teachers and knew that serving children somehow would be in my future, but because of their experiences in the classroom and where things were at the time, they encouraged me to think a little bit more broadly than a classroom teacher. So it really helped me to think about what other things were available for working with young children. I did child and family studies as a bachelor's degree and then a master's in early childhood. And then I have an EDS as well in culture, cognition, and the learning process. So educationally, pretty focused on early childhood, families, young children. But I've done quite a few things, very opposite from my parents who did the same thing for 30 years. I've done a lot of different things. I started in Head Start, and I was also a 4-H extension agent. I taught full-time as an early childhood instructor at a community college. I still do that part-time, so that's why I clarify. I still teach part-time for them, and I've been doing that over 10 years now. One of the most interesting things about me is I got to live in Roatan, Honduras for 3 years, where I did work in a school. I got to teach in a first, second grade combo class, and that was quite an experience. And since coming back from Roatan, that work has really led me to where I am now with Governor's Early Literacy Foundation. I was working with Tennessee Early Childhood Training Alliance, TECTA, at ETSU, which allowed me to make a lot of connections and build relationships with the early childhood community in Tennessee, particularly Northeast Tennessee, and then worked with our healthcare system in early childhood work, which led me to some collective impact opportunity work. And then that led me to Governor's Early Literacy Foundation, where I've been since July of 2023.
Well, we are so fortunate to have you here in Tennessee and now in that position with GELF. Tell us about the Governor's Early Literacy Program and when did it get started?
Yes, well, it's exciting because last year, the Governor's Early Literacy Foundation celebrated 20 years. The foundation started as a statewide program foundation in 2004. At that time, our well-loved and well-known Dolly Parton had been sending books home to children in Sevier County, and others across Tennessee thought that was a brilliant idea. So Governor Bredesen at the time worked to ensure that this was something that all children in Tennessee could have the opportunity to have books mailed to their home. So in 2004, Governor Bredesen was, you know, he had enough foresight to ensure that this was going to happen regardless of political office, you know, that it was going to sustain itself. So the foundation was created in order to, at the time, ensure that Imagination Library was in all 95 counties of Tennessee. Tennessee was the first statewide program for Dolly Parton's Imagination Library. And again, we are still here strong. We serve about 70% of the total eligible population in Tennessee, birth to the fifth birthday. That's the primary program of Governor's Early Literacy Foundation. But our mission is to strengthen early literacy in Tennessee. And the vision is that all children have access to resources, guidance, and support they need to become lifelong learners. While Dolly Parton's Imagination Library was the first program that the foundation worked to support, there are other programs now, and we can touch on those if you want, but as a birth to five, primarily it is about Dolly Parton's Imagination Library. So the foundation has grown since then and from them.
Well, and I think Dolly Parton's Imagination Library is so well known in the state. And it's really helpful to understand that connection with Guelph. You mentioned that you're able to serve about 70% of kids with the Imagination Library. So sounds like there's still room to grow. What else can you tell us about the Imagination Library?
As I mentioned, we do serve about 70% of children across the state. But yes, there is room to grow. Some counties serve 50%. Some counties serve 90%. While we do have the program in all 95 counties, it looks very different in all 95 counties. This is a program in which parents enroll. The earlier, the better. If a child is going to receive the full Imagination Library collection, that would be 60 books. But if a family doesn't enroll until their child is 8 months, 9 months, you know, that's fewer books that they are going to get. So the sooner that families can enroll, the better. And the books are mailed directly to home at no cost to children or families. However, they are not free. And while Dolly Parton's Imagination Library is incredibly well known, particularly in Tennessee, what is often not well known is how it's funded. Of course, we have Dolly Parton's Imagination Library Foundation, the Dollywood Foundation, that is incredibly supportive. They run everything on the back end, the database, and work with Penguin in order to get books at a very low cost. But the books are actually paid for 50% through state appropriations, which comes to Governor's Early Literacy Foundation, and the other 50% on a local level. For example, I live in Washington County. Washington County has a local program partner for Imagination Library that pays 50% of the cost of their books. So it really takes a lot of work and effort for some communities to support Imagination Library. We know it's important, and you know, because you do this every day, you support getting books in the hands of children. It's incredibly valuable and exciting for a child to open up their own book in the mail. And I know we can talk more in a bit about the value of that. But Imagination Library will be in Tennessee, hopefully, for as long as we are around because of the work of Governor Bredesen in 2004. We really have all of our legislators to thank for that continuous support in Tennessee. It's pretty unique. And Governor's Early Literacy Foundation is unique as well, as far as statewide programs across the country.
So there really is an amazing network of champions and volunteers and families that are supporting this effort. Let's talk a little bit more about why that's important. So according to one website, the path to becoming a proficient reader starts long before third grade. And we know improving third grade reading levels is a big priority for our state. The road is paved by the learning opportunities and experiences that a child has from birth. Across the state, hundreds of organizations are working tirelessly to support our youngest learners in early childhood centers, home-based care, out-of-school settings, and communities, indirectly serving families to increase access to books and high-quality resources, support, caregiver engagement, and to help meet basic needs. Could you tell us more about that?
That is a lot of work that a lot of people are doing across the state. The good thing about the work that I get to do with our team is we get to focus specifically on early literacy. All of the things that you mentioned are certainly social drivers of health and incredibly important for early childhood and healthy communities. I'm happy that I get to focus on early literacy and that piece. One of the things about Imagination Library that fits with all of the goals of what you just mentioned is building a home library. We know that having books in the home leads to engagement with caregivers, and reading aloud then being the number one predictor for communication growth. Having books in the home, particularly a 100-book home library, is really where we see a tipping point with that third grade reading proficiency, with high school graduation. And you can start building that home library in Tennessee at no cost with Imagination Library and have 60 books in that home library. In all of the work that I had done in early childhood and the work in the community college through my degrees, I never knew that until I started working with the foundation. So that was a new piece of research for me that I really like to share. Because some people may say, well, no, what if caregivers aren't going to read the book with the child? That could happen, sure, but the book is still available for the child to see print, to see the pictures, to tell the stories on their own. So just having that home library is incredibly important and one of the really main pillars of the work that Governor's Early Literacy Foundation does.
So the program really is directly addressing a gap that is commonly seen in young children's home environments. So particularly for families who may have fewer resources, it can be difficult to build that 100-book library. So the Imagination Library is such an incredible resource. Talk to us more about why it is so important to foster this sense of exploration through the written word with our children.
Right. It's certainly a basis for what's to come. If you never had the experience to play with a book, even if it is to tear the pages, bite it, manipulate it, infants can use books just as much as 4, 5, 14-year-olds. The work that's done with very young families, I think that's often an important piece to include, that yes, just let the infants have the books. Somebody told me one time that they went into homes and the Dolly Parton's Imagination Library books are up on a shelf where children can't get them. Well, that kind of defeats the purpose. Even if the books look worn and tattered, well, that's great. So let's go ahead and get the books down, let the children use them, because if they haven't had any experience with the books and then go to kindergarten, there is no basis for seeing that written word. But before I forget, I also want to throw out a couple of other pieces that what you said brought to mind. And one of the pieces of research or statistics that we use is that often in low-income neighborhoods, the book-to-child ratio is 1 to 300 compared to 13 to 1 in middle-income neighborhoods. So that what you mentioned about sometimes families just may not have the resources to build a home library, that is a huge discrepancy. But we also know that in addition to the reading aloud being the single most important activity leading to language acquisition, that having families who talk is incredibly important. So while you mentioned the written word, hearing stories and having books to be able to just talk and increase vocabulary, that's going to help build that as well. And the 100 book home library, starting with that 60 books. Yeah, that sounds like a lot. But what really sounds like a lot to me, and something to celebrate in Tennessee, is that since 2004, there have been over 56 million books delivered through Imagination Library. 56 million. That is a lot of books building home libraries in Tennessee.
Well, that is just an amazing statistic and certainly something to celebrate. So for our podcast listeners, how can hospitals, nurses, pediatric providers jump in and help to support this effort? How can they share these resources with families, help families get registered for Dolly Parton's Imagination Library? What can they do?
All right, great question. This, as I mentioned, we have Imagination Library in all 95 counties of Tennessee, which I don't even know how many birthing hospitals, health departments, pediatricians, that means it's a lot, right? And the partnership and connection with Dolly Parton's Imagination Library across Tennessee looks very different. So I'll give a couple examples of what people are doing. First and foremost, we would love for children, babies to be registered for Imagination Library upon birth, as soon as that can happen. It can't happen before birth, but as soon as the child is born, they can register with Imagination Library. This can be done online, and I will link all of these resources as a follow-up, send that information. So families can register themselves online. There can also be partnerships with hospitals where somebody on the team, whether it's a nurse, a social worker, a navigator, somebody on the hospital team can help the family get registered for Imagination Library before they leave the hospital. Of course, they can always share information to go home, but we know that probably is not the most efficient or effective way to do it, because they're overwhelmed once they get home and they may forget about enrolling for Imagination Library. So the best way to do it is they might be born at home, but right at birth for the child to be enrolled in Imagination Library. Again, it's at no cost. It is available in every zip code in Tennessee, so you don't have to worry about qualifying or meeting any kind of criteria. It's everybody. Our team at the Governor's Early Literacy Foundation would love to help anybody that you mentioned, birthing hospitals, pediatricians' offices, health departments, etc., be connected with your local Imagination Library partner in order to have a really effective and efficient process. That looks different everywhere. Again, here in Upper East, there are a couple of hospitals that have team members that carry an iPad that was purchased by Imagination Library. So families are enrolled right there on the spot with the help of a team member. There's a hospital in Oak Ridge that for years they have volunteers that have been handing out these welcome baby bags. And as a part of that, they take a physical enrollment form, write on it, and then the information is entered by hospital volunteers. So the family doesn't have to worry about doing that. And then in some places, the family fills it out themselves in the hospital and then leaves it for the team. And somebody from the local Imagination Library partner picks it up once or twice a month. So it looks different. We would love to have the opportunity to help create some partnerships to not only increase enrollment, but to help children get enrolled early.
Well, and we all know that early intervention is so important. So we will be sure to include your contact information and those resource links in the show notes for today's episode. And I'm really excited to see how we can, like you said, build more partnerships in local communities with our hospitals and healthcare system and the Imagination Library. So it's important for families to know that there's no cost to them for receiving Imagination Library books. Is there anything else that families, parents, or caregivers should know?
One of the things to know is if you move, you can update your address. So we often have families call and say, I'm not getting my books, and we don't know if you've moved or not. So one of the important things is you can keep your address up to date. It's also important for families to know that even if you have multiple children under five, it's really fantastic that they all get their own books. The books are not the same every year for every age band. They do change. There's a team of people with Dollywood Foundation that chooses the books, and there may be some favorites that stay in there. The Little Engine That Could is always the first book, and then there are some other favorites. But that's another important thing. I've had people say, oh, well, my first child got them, so I didn't enroll my second child. But the idea is that all the children in your house have those books and access to those books, that they get them with their name on them. And then, like I said, they do change. So it's important to keep that in mind, too. You're not going to have duplicates of every book in your house. And the other thing I would say is Imagination Library does provide some reading tips on the inside of the Imagination Library books. And sometimes it may be hard to think about, well, what else can I do with this book? How can I engage with my child around this book other than reading it, just word for word? So there are reading tips in those Imagination Library books. And I encourage you to look at those and be creative in how you interact with books with children.
Well, I agree that those tips are so helpful, and talk about things I didn't learn in my pediatric training. There's research behind how you share a book with babies and children of different developmental levels. And it doesn't necessarily mean they sit down and listen to you read it from cover to cover. You want to tailor that interaction to the developmental level. And we tell our families, if baby chews on the book or folds the pages, that's fine. They're still interacting with the book. And I think it's also helpful because in some families, the parents and caregivers themselves may be low literacy. And so I think the idea of sharing a book, you don't even have to read it. You can talk about the pictures. There's all different ways you can use a book. So I think that's really helpful. Thank you so much, Heather, for talking with me today. Is there anything else you'd like to add before we wrap up?
I appreciate the opportunity to connect with all of the listeners and appreciate everybody who supports Dolly Parton's Imagination Library across the state and early literacy in general, and look forward to continuing to grow those connections and partnerships in order to promote early literacy across our state. Thank you.
Thanks, Heather, and thank you for all that you do.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Healthy Mom, Healthy Baby Tennessee, presented by TIPQC. TIPQC is funded under a grant contract with the state of Tennessee. Healthy Mom, Healthy Baby Tennessee is brought to you through a cooperative agreement with the Alliance for Innovation on Maternal Health. Do you have ideas for a future guest or topic, or even have a question you would like answered on upcoming episodes? Visit www.tipqc.org, that's TIPQC.org, and click on podcast to submit suggestions and questions to our podcast team. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast to be the first to know when new episodes are available, and find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube to stay in the loop with our active projects and other relevant news relating to perinatal health in Tennessee.